Good morning, this is Paul Segrist for the National Park Service. Today is Thursday, October 27th, 1994. I'm at the Ellis Island Recording Studio with Mrs. Dorothy Gill. Mrs. Gill was a clerk typist here at Ellis Island. She came in January of 1918, and she left the position in 1919. Anyway, thank you for coming here. And can we begin, Mrs. Gill, by you giving me your birth date, please?
I was born May 21st, 1899.
And where were you born?
In Port Chester, New York.
Can you give me a little family background, a little information about your parents?
I went to business school, and we never went to school in the afternoon. We went to Broadway to see the good movies. We never missed any, but one time we had no place to go. We had seen all the movies and went down to Customs House because they were having civil service exams. The group I was with all passed both typing and shorthand, but I only passed the typing. Then the armistice was signed, and in December, I received a notice that if I would like a position at Ellis Island, I could have it. My father brought me over, as he was an immigrant, at Ellis Island in 1863 and wanted to come over to see the island again. I was placed in the office of both the adjutant and commanding officer and did the typing and for both.
Can you tell me a little bit, you said your father was an immigrant, can you just tell me a little bit about your family background, your parents' history?
My father came from Germany in the 1800s, and as he was a baker, he started a bakery in Port Chester and was very successful there.
What was your father's name?
His name was John Joseph Fuchs, F-U-C-H-S.
Thank you. Which would be your maiden name?
Which was my maiden name.
What was your mother's name?
And my mother's name was Margaret Braun.
Can you spell Braun, please?
B-R-A-U-N. And my father boarded at the Braun house in those days, and eventually married.
Where was your mother born?
My mother was born in the West somewhere, but I don't know where.
But in the United States?
In the United States.
Tell me a little bit about what it was like to grow up with an immigrant father.
It was very happy growing up because we had, he was very successful, and we had everything that we needed. But as most foreigners, he learned the English language, but always had the accent. They never lose the accent. But we were all very, very happy.
You say we. Were there brothers and sisters?
My brothers. I had three brothers and one sister.
Can you name everybody for me?
My sister was Gretchen Slagle. My three brothers. One was Charles, one was Joseph, and one was Augustus.
And Slagle was your sister's married name.
Yes.
How do you spell Slagle?
S-L-A-G-L-E.
Great.
Was my sister.
Tell me how you decided to go to business school.
The reason I went to business school, I was a slow reader, and today they have, I could have good teachers. They have classes for the slow readers, but in those days you either read or you didn't. I went back to high school hoping to graduate with my class, but did not have history points. And when I went back, the principal said I would have to read 3 books, history books. And I said, no way. So my father took me to New York and enrolled me in Miller's Business School.
Do you remember where Miller's Business School was?
Miller's Business School was down about, I think it was on 19th Street in New York City.
Was this a common thing for young ladies to do?
I knew nothing about New York City, and that was the reason my father brought me to New York. He gave me 5 cents and a commutation book and said when I got out of school to get on the trolley, which was on, I think it was, well, the trolley would go right to Grand Central. And the commutation book would take me to Portchester. Commuted.
And you did that once you worked at Ellis Island, too? Did you lived with your parents?
And then when I started at Ellis Island, I would walk to the station about a half a mile to get the train. About 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:30 in the morning, got on the subway at Grand Central, came down all the way down to 14th Street, changed there, and got on another subway, and then changed to a little subway which took me to Bowling Green. Then I got on the boat, and that brought me over to Ellis Island. But it passed the Statue of Liberty every morning. And believe it or not, I never got off the boat to see the statue.
That's a long trip to go every morning.
Every morning and every night, but it was a happy trip.
Tell me a little bit, before we start talking about Ellis Island, tell me a little bit about what New York City was like at the time of World War I. What was being in New York like for you at that time?
Well, New York was all Army and Navy. And we would, after school, or at lunchtime, we would walk to 23rd Street, where the Army Band would be playing. And, of course, that was a good time, especially at that age.
Tell me about what your first day was like at Ellis Island. What happened on the first day of work?
My first day of work. Well, my first day, of course, my father brought me over, and he met Captain Morrison. Captain Morrison brought me in to meet Major Clark and Major Haig. And that first day, I looked out the big window, which was where the big boats stopped and unloaded shell-shocked soldiers and wounded soldiers. And I don't think I slept for weeks after that because I had never seen such excitement. However, I soon got over it.
Do you remember what you were wearing on your first day of work?
In those days, young people, young girls, would wear skirts almost to their ankles and nice white blouses, nice georgette crepe blouses that you could see through. But we survived.
Did you have to wear some kind of a uniform when you worked at Ellis Island?
No.
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 Where, do you remember where your desk was?
My desk was to the left of the front door coming in the main building. That was Major Clark's office. Next to that was Major Haig's office, who was the commanding officer of the detachment.
And what branch of the military did they work for?
And they worked in the medical. And one very nice, older, regular sergeant used to come in every morning and pat me on the back and say to me, "Don't you think that Sergeant Gill is the nicest guy on the island?" And I would say, "Well, I guess he is, but I think there are a lot of nice guys on the island." I never met Major Gill, or Sergeant Gill, rather, was in charge of passes and entertainment. And, of course, this older sergeant thought he was pretty nice, and he also thought that I was pretty nice. He used to say he thought the nicest girl on the island should give the nicest guy on the island a break. But I never met Sergeant Gill all the time. Most of the time I worked there, I knew who he was, but we never had much conversation. But they had a dance every week, a Saturday night, and I would go to the dance every Saturday night, but never had a dance with Sergeant Gill. However, the last dance, Sergeant Gill came over and asked if he said that we should at least have the last waltz together. And that was the beginning of our romance, the last waltz. Then I was transferred to the War Risk Insurance.
What is the name?
The War Risk Insurance at 280 Broadway, which is now Veterans Insurance. I worked there for a short while, then was transferred to transportation.
Well, we should, before we get on to what happened later, let's talk more about Ellis Island.
Yes.
You said they had a dance every Saturday night.
Yes.
Was that on the island?
On the island, sure.
Can you describe one of these dances for me? For instance, who came to the dances?
Well, all the fellows came. Oh, well, Sergeant Gill had to go to Broadway to get some of the entertainment, too. And we all went to the dance. I guess all the fellows, that's all I could.
Was it only for the employees, or did...
The soldiers.
The soldiers.
Just for the base, for the fellows that were here. And, of course, they all had girls, naturally. They all went to Broadway and brought their girls over, you know.
You said that there would be live entertainment. What kind of entertainment?
Well, I never... He used to have singers, a couple of... I really don't remember anything about the entertainment. Whether they had entertainment before or what, I don't remember that.
Tell me a little bit about what your duties were while you worked here.
Well, my duties were just to type up discharges for the fellows that were here, because, of course, the armistice had been signed, and the fellows were anxious to get home. And that was, they had to hire more typists to type up the discharges.
Can you tell me, did you have any interaction with the soldiers who were here at that time?
Not much. I went out with a couple of them. One of the lieutenants was up with my mother. I mean, I invited him up to have dinner. And, of course, I invited Sergeant Gill up a couple of times after the armistice. But,
Where were the soldiers kept here on the island? Where did they stay?
I couldn't tell you. I didn't know too much about. I stayed in my office most of the day, and of course at lunchtime. There was a couple of girls that we would walk around. We'd walk over for something to eat. There was a passway between the Island 1 and this island, and the Navy had the Island 1, you know.
It was strictly Navy?
Yes. We weren't supposed to go any further.
Oh, so you weren't allowed over there,
then?
Oh, no. Is that where the hospitals were?
No, the hospital... That way, the Navy was over that way. The hospital was over this way, and I was in the middle.
In the main building.
In the main building, right here.
You mentioned Sergeant Mark. Sergeant Haig or General Haig? Major Haig.
Major Haig.
But the man underneath him you mentioned, is his last name Mark?
Clark. Major Ira Clark. Ira S. Clark.
Was he your supervisor? He
yes.
was your boss?
Yes.
Tell me about him. What was he like as a person?
Oh, he was the nicest man. And he would come over. He never made me work very hard, and he didn't work very hard either. He would come over and say, stick a paper in your machine. And I would put a paper in my machine, and he'd say, type up what I'm saying. And that's... Then I think he went to bed afterward. I shouldn't say that, but I didn't see much of him. I mean, he would come in. He was just the nicest person.
Were there other young ladies employed here at that time?
Well, there was a regular down in Captain Marsden's office. That was a regular sonographic office. I really don't know much. I didn't wander around too much. I stayed put pretty much where I was. And I had one girlfriend. We'd go out and get our sandwich or our lunch halfway between the Navy and the Army.
Where did you eat? When you got your lunch, then where did you take it to eat?
I think we used to walk around and eat it. I know one time I had a picture. I was going to bring it to this one girl. She was a real typical Irish. And she and I walked in the back, and we were thirsty. Sergeant Gill went in to get me a drink. And what was in it but a dose of salt. And I flung it at him, and that ruined his suit. but that didn't make any difference.
Tell me...
You don't have to put all those nasty things in, though.
You mentioned Morrison, Sergeant... Is it Sergeant Morrison?
Marsden, M-A-R-S-D-E.
What was
he? I don't know, really. He was head of the... I really don't know. Head of the I really don't know, but he was the officer that we had to see when I first came in. Now, what his position was, I don't know.
How did your father, being an immigrant himself, feel about you going to Ellis Island every day?
He was tickled to death. He was happy because he wanted to see, and he and Captain Morrison seemed to have an awful lot in common. I don't know what, but they were talking for a long time together.
Do you know what year your father came to America?
1863.
That's when he came, or is that when he was born?
No, he came to... Or it was either 1863 or 1868. I may have it on this.
Yeah, we can check. We can check. Did they ever supply like a Christmas party for you at the holidays?
No. Well, it was after Christmas.
Just for the sake of the tape, Mrs. Gill is looking at her papers. Well, we can check it.
Yeah,
after.
We'll check it after.
Yeah, we'll check it after. Did you like working here?
Oh, I loved it. Wouldn't. What was at that age.
What was the best part? What did you enjoy the most about working here?
Just everything. I can't tell you. I mean, at that age, and to have a position like that was quite a thing. However, I will tell you one thing. I've always been disappointed that nowhere and nobody knows that Ellis Island was a hospital, demarcation hospital number one. I have told so many people, and they did it. They did it. Was that the Army was here? In fact, this is a a letter that I wrote after my husband died, when they showed the movie of Ellis Island, do you remember, about 10 years ago? Well, I sent a donation in my husband's, in memory of my husband. And that's what I put on there. I said that the movie was all right, and everybody had someone coming from Ellis Island, but as yet I have to meet someone who knew that it was a hospital, or that the Army was there. And that's something, in fact, that's in that letter too.
You mentioned that your husband-to-be, Sergeant Gill, was in charge of passes. What does that mean exactly? What were his duties here?
Well, the fellow wanted to go off the island for the day, or the fellow wanted a weekend. He would have to, I suppose, look up his record and then have to make up a pass and take it into... either Major Haig or Major Clark, one or the other.
How long did your husband work here, your husband-to-be at that time? Did he work here for a short amount of time or a long time?
He was in about a year, I guess, before. Yeah. Isn't that funny? I'll tell you afterwards.
Do you have any recollections of the immigration part of the island? Was there any immigration going through that you know of at that
time?
Not
a bit that I know of. I don't see how it could be when they both Army and Navy were here.
You mentioned that you remember seeing wounded soldiers.
Oh, yes. I saw right off. I was sitting right at the desk, and here they came right. Oh, yes.
Was that a frequent occurrence here? Were wounded brought here frequently?
No. You see, I was only here not too long, from January to, I don't know, how long was it? About a year, half a year, less than a year.
You were not allowed on any other part of the island except for where you had to be.
Right, right.
Do you remember any kind of organizations that had offices on Ellis Island? Were there any other kinds of organizations that had
Nothing
offices
that
here?
I know of.
Just the military.
The Red Cross were here all the time, but I don't know whether they had offices or not. Not that I know of.
But there were representatives of the Red Cross here.
Yes.
Was there anyone here that you worked with that you didn't like?
Yes.
And who was that?
Well, I don't know who he was, but whenever we were coming through from the other side, you know, through that tunnel, not a tunnel, but the walkway, he was older, and he thought he was smart, and he would always come with his arms outstretched, and he thought he was smart, but I don't know what his name was, but I did not like him.
Well, he wouldn't be able to get away with that nowadays.
Well, he got away. He thought he did.
You said that when you left Ellis Island, you went to work back in Manhattan. Did you ever come back out to the island for any reason after you left
Never.
It?
This is my first time back. And that was a long time ago.
Yeah, 75 years ago.
Yeah.
When you left, did they give you any kind of a party or a goodbye?
No, nothing. It was just the last dance. That was it. That was it.
And then later, of course, you married Sergeant Gill. Do you remember what year you got married?
1920.
So soon after you left, you married.
Well, about a year afterward. Well, you see, he went to this one horse town, and of course, Broadway was in. He had a taste of Broadway and liked Broadway, and he went to the Victory Hut up at Times Square and asked the Red Cross woman if there were any jobs for a veteran. And she said, well, Mr. Randolph Hearst just called up and said if there was...
He went to work for Hearst.
And he worked there for 43 years.
In our last couple of minutes, can you name your children for me?
We were married for 62 years and had two lovely daughters. One was Mrs.
Just their first names is fine.
So, Mrs. Isn't that awful?
Yeah, he's with you today.
Yeah, I wanted to get the oldest one first.
Okay.
Shirley Everett, Evert, and the other is Dorothy Bramley, Bramley. One is living in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and one living in Cumberland, Rhode Island, outside of Providence.
And how many grandchildren?
Three. Four. Seven grandchildren.
Any great-grandchildren?
And nine great-grandchildren.
Wow. In our last minute, how do you think about your life now? When you look back over everything you've done, how do you think about your life?
I have had a very happy life. My husband and I both were very compatible, and 20 years before he died, we built a lovely summer place up at Cape Cod. But I still live in our first home in Portchester, which we built in 1923.
And in the town that you grew up in, too.
Yes.
Well, Mrs. Gill, I want to thank you very much. This has been most interesting.
There may be a lot of different things in there.
Well, we'll take a look at the papers that you've got after we complete the interview.
Okay.
This is Paul Segrist signing off with Dorothy Gill on Thursday, October 27th, 1994, at the Ellis Island Recording Studio. Thank you, Mrs. Gill.